Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today we have co-hostess, Stephanie.
Hey, guys!
And today we're going to talk about American Horror Story.
Horror.
Walking Dead Brains. Ooh. And Gravity. Can't feel my legs. And I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. I don't remember that part in the movie, but go ahead.
So, yes, it's the Sci-Fi Party Line. Also, WTF Fangirl.
Fangirl!
That's right. We're having a party. We're doing each other's nails. We're twirling hair. We're talking about the hot guys on Walking Dead. You know that zombie that rolled out of bed with his guts and it came out when he was hot, right? It's hot.
I'm not standing behind that.
I felt a tingle in my loins. Wait. Do women have loins?
That was someone else's loins falling out onto the floor. Gross.
Women loins here on the Sci-Fi Party Line. Okay.
What happened?
But we can talk about loins. It's an appropriate topic for our first show, and that is Horror Story. Not
American Horror Story.
Now, if you're watching American Horror Story, like, you know, we are, you have been rocked, I say, by the crazy going-ons of late. I thought that this show could not get better, but it is just beyond anything that I can ever imagine.
I kind of feel like I need therapy after that last one, though. I mean, that brought up some really weird moments in my eyes.
So what we're talking about, the last episode, the one before that was called Boy Parts, and this one
was also disturbing.
Yeah, that was super disturbing. And let's see. The other one, the one that we're talking about today is Replacements. We're going to talk about all three of them, but we just really need to vent about the Replacements.
Yeah, we do, for sure. Okay.
So, Jessica Lange, who continues to act, I don't know how this happened. This woman is just brilliant every time she steps on the scene. I don't understand how she must have made a deal with the devil, because she's just amazing. And so as a witch, she has shown up to her daughter's, I guess, school for girls, little Hogwarts, or what is the X-Men have? That thing. And she is shaking up things because she doesn't like the way her daughter is teaching the young witches. And hijinks ensue. And by hijinks, we mean digging up an old lady who is
super racist. Like,
super racist. what is her name again?
Name in
Her real name.
Oh, Kathy Bates.
Kathy freaking Bates.
Yes, Kathy which
freaking Bates. How she manages to be amazing every time she speaks is amazing.
Oh my god, I die a little bit inside every time the credits roll, because I no longer get to see Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates, and Angela Bassett like tear it up. They are awesome in this show. I'm so happy that they are together and acting in such, like, their characters are so cool. I love them.
Oh my god, Angela Bassett is a voodoo priestess. And she has powers. Everybody has powers. And you know it's going to be a bitch witch fest. And something, I mean, I can't believe we're on the third episode and already the trauma has started. We had a girl gang raped by a fraternity who then flipped over a bus as if it were a Jedi mind trick and killed them all, and they were all injured in a way that rendered their bodies chopped
Wait,
up.
wait, wait. She didn't kill them all because some girl had to have sex with the one asshole, and then she killed that guy.
Well, he was injured pretty bad. Now,
He was injured, but not injured enough to not be able to have sex and then die a horrible, horrible
think
death.
about? I mean, like, would you, if you were a witch, would you want your power to be, I'm going to have sex with you and you die?
You die in a horrible way.
Not even with a smile on your face, but like your eyes bleed, your nose bleed, mouth bleed, you have an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Didn't look like a good one. It doesn't look like a good one.
How is that even a thing?
Yeah, I mean, have we heard of this in witch lore? I don't know.
I don't know personally, but I just feel really bad for her.
I mean, everything has to be a one night stand for her. Unless she's just gonna
Well, she's never
give
gonna get to
hand
enjoy.
jobs.
She's never gonna get to enjoy sex because everybody she loves, she can't have sex with, so she has to like have
Well, hot da ba da,
revenge.
there's other ways she can get around.
You don't know that.
That is
You don't
true. That
know
is
that.
true. That is true.
Her vagina might have teeth. You don't even know. And everybody should stay away from her who loves her. So that means all she has left is revenge sex. And revenge sex, man.
Well, she
I
smacked
don't
hands and lips.
Whatever, man. If that happens in the good old fashioned horizontal tango, then I don't want to know what else happens in the alternatives.
Well, you know, maybe she'll just be a nun or something. I don't know what's going to happen with her, but that's unfortunate. So that would be, who is she? She is, that is Zoe Benson. Then we have Cordelia Fox, which that is Sarah Paulson, which is, she's the madam.
She is the school mistress.
Yeah, the school marm, right?
Yeah.
And then we got Dennis O'Hare, who's doing nothing. Like, usually his character is crazing it up, and he's not really, he's just kind of skulking around with no tongue.
Well, you found out more about him, that's for sure.
That's true.
I feel bad. I feel bad for his character. I already did, and I didn't know why I felt bad for him, and now we found out a little bit more. I can't wait for the flashbacks to happen, though. I love how they set it up, especially in this episode. They set it up to kind of explore the history of the school, so that I can't remember the actress. You're the person with all the names in front of you.
Barely.
The Supreme Witch before Jessica Lange's character was the Supreme, before she Sith Lorded it out and like killed her master.
Anna Leigh Layton.
Okay, she's awesome. I'm sorry I didn't remember her name, but I do remember her as an actress, and looking forward to seeing her more. I have a feeling that we will see her more, and then we'll probably get to see more of the other Supremes as well. So the thing that I like about American Horror Story is ever present here in season three. They are not afraid to explore different themes, and they're certainly not ex afraid to completely embrace and kind of like a half serious wink, the subject matter. And the things that they've chosen, I have to say, I wasn't really that excited about witches this go round. I was super excited about an asylum, which I thoroughly enjoyed season two
Yeah,
and
we
the
didn't get to
asylum.
talk about that one as much, but you know, we'll circle back around to it. But Coven and Witches, I have to agree with you, Stephanie, did was not excited.
It wasn't, but now I am completely on board. Completely on board.
Like you say, the
I
three head
am loving it.
witches are just Angela Bassett. Oh my! See, now aren't you glad that I made you watch Vampire in Brooklyn?
I'm glad because the funny thing is her character has the power of immortality, and she literally does not look any different from the 1990s to now. So,
She
ultimate
doesn't.
irony. No, she
Yeah.
does not. She is just gorgeous and timeless.
Yeah, I really dislike her ghetto braids, but that's fine because I haven't seen Angela Bass. She always looks so classy, and now
Yeah.
she's just like slumming it up in this horrible place. Like, why hasn't she, done anything after all those years? It really is a kind of a shithole. So.
Well, she kind of has, but I mean, I kind of can understand it. So, okay, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I love that this season is set in New Orleans. I love that because, it kind of puts me in the mood for some sort of Anne Rice novel,
Yeah.
waiting to happen. And I just I don't know. It seems like it's more believable in New Orleans too. Like
Yeah.
everything that's happening right now seems super believable. I'm completely invested in these storylines. I love that they're not taking themselves too seriously. They're obviously tackling extremely uncomfortable topics, but they just have they continue though to have some levity in the characters that is just kind of unmatched in other shows. Anyway, so we're in New Orleans and we get to know these characters, and Angela Bassett's character, her character is so cool because she does have that kind of vampire-esque immortality feel to her. And it makes sense for her to kind of live an unremarkable life. I mean, she was not a lottery winner. She's not this. She could do all of these things. She could be completely living in a stately manner, and all this stuff. But she has to go under the radar because she's immortal. And I mean, if she becomes high profile, then more and more people know, that or begin to suspect that something's different about her. So I'm
She
okay
could
with
have,
that.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but she could have like did an underground lair that was had some spectacle to it or something, because that place looks depressing.
We don't know where she really lives. That's just her shop.
Okay, I'll give you that, but I'm thinking sister needs to get
Where?
a broom and a mop
Listen.
and some IKEA shelves or something.
Listen, where could she do all these creepy semen in a jar, rituals? Where could she do that? I think that she has probably a cool place somewhere on the down low where she gets to perform these creepy rituals. So I think we'll find out where she lives, but she cannot be a flamboyant person in her public life, though, or else people would start suspecting things. So that is what I love about her character. We're finding out that she's f vengeful. I'm really sorry for all of my F-bombs, but anyway, we're finding out that she's super vengeful and that she now is a dog with a bone. Like she's gonna go after this coven. Because Jessica Lange kind of threw it down. She threw down the gauntlet. And also, Jessica Lange's character is harboring Kathy Bates, uber racist. So.
Well, we start out with her, and she's Delphine LaLaurie, right? And she starts out in 1834. She has this stately estate, and she has lavish everything. She has three daughters, a husband, and her daughter sleeps with the slave. The slave
Oh.
gets a bull put on his head and is chained up in the basement or something. And she has all these slaves that she's torturing just because she can. And it's sad. Like, oh my God, this woman, what is wrong with her? She's like, oh, I remember the tales from Greeks or Roman, whatever. And it was about a man bull. And now I have my very own. And I'm like, he seriously has somebody hollowed out a bull's head recently and put it on the man's
Oh,
head.
there's like sinews and like bull fur or whatever. It's gross. And it's like bloody with like little congealed blood, like dark congealed blood. Oh, but amazing at the same
And so what?
So, but that's in Bitchcraft. We should like start. Let's just start with Bitchcraft and go there. That's the first episode.
Right. This is Bitchcraft.
No, well, we're on the first episode with Kathy Bates' character. We
Right.
start with her,
Okay.
and then because the bull guy comes back in a weird ass way that we have to like. I was trying to explain this to my friends. I was like, I'm extremely grossed out because there's this bull man, and you know.
I don't know how I'd be able to explain this to a person who's never seen this show. Okay, so this slave was the lover of Marie Laveau, right? And so
No,
she,
she was. Oh yeah, Marie Laveau. Okay,
yeah,
sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll
Angela
shut up. Okay.
Bassett. Angela Bassett, Marie Laveau, which is awesome. And so she comes to Kathy Bates' house and say, "I got a love potion for you, girl. I heard your husband stepping out on you, younger girl." And you know who wouldn't step out on Kathy Bates? Looking, she's mean and she called herself blubbery. So we're gonna let her roll with her own terminology. And what else happens from there?
Well, okay, so Kathy Bates, uber racist, doing horrible things to Angela LaBeouf's lover, but also other friends. And so Kathy Bates feels totally justified doing this. Angela Bassett's like, I'm gonna have to kill you now. But then she thinks on it and she's like, yeah, you know what? Let's give you a different, even more terrifying fate. And then, Kat, you want to explain what the terrifying fate is?
The terrifying fate is that she gives Kathy Bates a what is it? A immortality potion. Shows her to goes out. Shows Kathy Bates her daughters and her husband strung up, noosed, hung, and who knows what Angela Bassett, Marie Laveau did to him. And then hauls Kathy Bates out in an unmarked grave and buries her alive to live there for a long time.
Yes, that is so cool. If I ever turn evil, that is totally what I'm exacting on
But
people.
the problem with that is that if you bury somebody, you give somebody immortality and then bury them alive and they don't, and then that's it, there's always the chance that you have to see them again, which is where we are now. Now,
Well, yeah, but we're okay, so then we go to the masterful writing of the show and we find out that Jessica Lange's character, who is the Supreme Witch in this coven, which means that she's the badass who has all the power. Well, we find out that she's slowly losing her power. We don't know why, but she's slowly losing her power and she's obsessed with immortality, absolutely obsessed. And just by chance, because another witch in the coven has the ability to read minds, she reads the thoughts of Kathy Bates' character, buried 6 feet under in the box. And that's how Jessica Lange's character finds out that, oh, somebody does possess the ability to make me immortal, so
it's not
I'm
the
going to become
immortality
immortal.
that she's looking for. She's looking for beauty and youth. So she doesn't, she may not mind that she's dying, but she does mind that she is, by Jessica Lange standards, looking haggardly, which is crazy. But I
Hardly.
know, right? And so that's what's happening. She wants to not look as old, and she wants to be the hot mama in charge. You know, she wants to get all, have bedding men and being able to seduce them. And she just, for whatever crazy reason, don't think she can do that now, which I think she totally can, but whatever. So yeah, and then Stephanie, she goes to visit Mary Laveau,
Yes, she does.
and that's how this thing starts again.
Yeah, so maybe starts off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, when you burn a woman's wigs, that is war.
The two tribes come together, and then we find out why they hate each other so much, and how, witchcraft, whatever schism happened at the beginning, the Salem witch trials, and the birth of voodoo in America, and stuff like that. Anyway, so we learn about that, and we also learn that, oh, they still pretty much hate each other's guts.
I just
And
thought
then
maybe that they could, I mean, I don't know why they would continue this hatred towards each other. Now, granted, Jessica Lange's character could have went in there with a little, if she was going to ask for something, she could have went in with a little more humble and a little bit more bargaining power, and not with all this asshole on her shoulders type of thing where she's just trying to gain some control. She wanted something from her, so she should have played the game better, and she probably would have gotten what she wanted, maybe, because Angela Bassett's character is a bit of an asshole, so.
well, it's like they're not even two sides of the same coin. They're both on the same side of a coin. They're both just badasses, and I love it. I love that they're vying for power, and they have such big egos that neither of them is going to give, and so there's this clash that's just beginning, and I can't wait to see where that goes. And we've only talked about like three really of the characters,
Okay,
and then there's
let's
so
talk.
many more that
Okay,
are awesome.
let's go. Let's talk about the
Well,
characters.
no.
Oh, okay,
So,
finish.
well, my comment on that is that, see, look how much story has already happened in three episodes, and we're only talking about really three characters. But so many other characters have stories going alongside of these other stories. And you guys, if you're not watching American Horror Story, you need to start watching it because it's awesome. Okay, that's all
We
I'm going
got Stephanie to sing, yes. So, other characters, we have some of the same faces that we've seen in American Horror Story before. And now we're going to Kyle. Kyle is a part of, like we said before, a fraternity. And he just happens to be part of the wrong fraternity that happens to gang rape a witch and gets himself killed. Chopped up into body parts from shrapnel and the accident itself. But before that, he catches the eye of our poison vaginally challenged witch.
vaginally challenged. She does have a challenged vagina. That's true.
He is killed before the love can blossom. Safe to say, yeah.
Yes, we should say that Kyle is the only good guy in this fraternity because he did not take part in the assholery of his fraternal brothers.
Right. We also have let's see, Queenie, who's the
I love her.
what does she call herself? Human voodoo doll.
Human voodoo doll.
Can
Yes.
hurt herself and it hurts someone else. It's finally someone who can take something out on themselves and other people can feel it. You know how people say, well, revenge,
Yeah.
being angry with somebody and not doing something about it, it's like sipping poison and hoping somebody else die. Well, she can do
know, this is like the Fantastic Four of witches. I love everybody's like latent superpower that they haven't learned how to harness just yet for the powers of good.
Oh, so great. And what is the other girl's name? Adelaide, Addie. She
Addie.
or well maybe that was her name in one of the other ones, but Jamie Brewer. She has Down syndrome, but she is the most amazing actress ever. Like she has an attitude that is so unbelievable. It's crazy. She's just so, she's just as arrogant as the other witches, and she can hear people's minds. And she
Yes.
sits around all day in her super short skirt so we can all see her underwear with her manicured nails talking crap about everyone, which is highly amusing, and I really enjoy her character.
I love that she has more screen time in this season. She had a little bit of screen time in the first season, and then she had a bigger role in the second season. And now we just see her, and she's like a recurring character in multiple episodes. I love that. I mean,
Yeah.
she's one of the main characters because she is a great actress, and she does have downs, and that doesn't stop her. And I don't know. Yes, the subject matter is a little bit creepy, but I'd still apply. I applaud her for doing that because, you know, not enough people know how to deal with downs. My nephew has downs, and not enough people know how to deal with that, and they don't know, you know, exactly what people's capacity is. And well, you know, she just said it the best. She's like, "I have an extra chromosome. Deal with it," you know, and I love it. Anyway, so I love that her character's here. I love that her character was like, "Bitch, you have terrible thoughts. I can't stand your thoughts. I'm just gonna let you go." And then it's like Encino Man. She unleashes Kathy Bates' character that's been buried for like 100 and something
Her
years and
silly dress.
her silly dress, and then Kathy Bates' character is unleashed on the town, and she's like, "What are all these horseless carriages?" And blah, blah, blah.
Straight up Rip Van Winkle style.
I know. And then this last episode, Replacements, where Kathy Bates' character is like, "That magic box of lies," when she's referring to the TV, and she's talking about how she can't believe that we elected a black president twice. And that is the kind of crazy, like every once in a while there'll be this cool levity in the show that kind of is a tension reliever for all these other really uncomfortable moments. So yeah, I just love that Kathy Bates said the magical box lies.
I really like how Angela, I mean, not Angela, I'm sorry, Jessica Lange's character rebounds with, "I hate racists. Don't be a racist." And then she,
Yeah.
makes, because she kept just saying all this crazy stuff to Queenie. So eventually, jumping to the third episode, she makes Kathy Bates Queenie's slave. So that's fun. It's a lot of fun.
That is fun and so fitting.
Yeah.
And then
Oh, you're not jumping to third episode. Calm down. We're gonna recap. This is foreplay, Nene. This is how it works. You.
I just, you know how fresh it is for me, and like
Okay.
I'm still processing all the creepy things that happened
Gonna
before
go.
my eyes.
Okay, but we have to lead up to. Okay, so all right.
Okay.
What did you? Okay, and so we did all that. So I think we covered the first episode, and then Jessica, and then let's go to boy parts where we and let's see, we get some history on Queenie, Cordelia, and Zoe break into the morgue, put Kyle back together, but put like the parts that they thought from other guys onto him, so they gave him a bigger chest, a bigger, abs, biceps, triceps, perhaps a bigger man schlong.
Yum. Can I just say, I love Evan Peters so much, and it's making me feel a little bit like a pedophile because what is he? He's like 25 or something, 23.
That's
And
legal,
I'm like,
girl.
I
Legal.
know that. I know it's legal, but I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit weird about it.
Because it's like, why is he sexy? Why this is
He's
supposed to be happening
uber
because
sexy.
it's weird and he's so tiny frame, but there's something happening and
Oh,
I'm gonna
boy.
pay attention to something else. So okay, so obviously there's other people that feel this way about him, but we're gonna get into that later.
Okay.
So, with the spell that brings Kyle back to life, he is now Frankenstein's monster, but we also get a hippy dippy witch, Misty Day.
Yes, who is Lily Raby, right?
And she's obsessed with what singer?
Stevie Nicks, and she's totally embodying Stevie Nicks, and they just totally outed Stevie Nicks as a witch. So that is three awesomes in a row.
That is so funny. She is dangerously unstable. Like, you can tell she's a hippie, but you can tell that it just takes one thing to rub her the wrong way, and she's straight to crazy town.
Oh yeah, she's got a ticket to Crazy Town, and everybody knows her name, so cheers to Crazy Town and the bar in Crazy Town that she dances in as Stevie Nicks. Anyway, so
But so she helps bring Kyle back to life, but she goes on these rants. She got burned on a stake, but was somehow brought back to life. Nobody really knows how.
So she is presumed dead in the first episode. We learn a little bit about her when they're introducing the kind of why there's this school for witches and how they all get together and kind of protect themselves, strengthen numbers because of all of the persecution that's happened in the past. And then they talk about that's still very real and present because Lily Raby, Rabies, whatever her name is, Stevie Nicks's wannabe impersonator. She is a Bible thumping like fringe Christian, and she didn't realize her own powers until one day she was able to bring a dead bird back to life. Well, unfortunately for her, she was at a revival when that happened, and all of the Christian people were like, "Oh no, that's not cool." And then they burned her at the stake.
Yeah, it's funny. Oh, go ahead.
And then she came back to life with uber black eyeliner and way better clothes. And that's it.
It funny that instead of thinking that she had the power of God within her, they immediately thought she was the devil or something
Right.
evil or something was amiss. Because, like, if she has the power of resurrection, why does that automatically make her evil and they burn her at the stake? Why not say, oh, this is a miracle of God? Why did we need to?
No, because it threatens the very core of their beliefs. Jesus is the only one that can resurrect, right?
How
So,
did they
like.
know that Jesus didn't give her that power? They just killed her off. That she could have said, "Well, if I exist and I can do this, it's because Jesus wanted it to happen. Therefore, I am." But no, these people take it upon themselves to kill the child of God. Therefore, I don't understand
Well,
their.
that's the cool, you touched on it right there. That's been happening over and over in history, where someone tries to spin it as the devil's work, but they are trying to spin it as they're working through, God's working through them and they're vessels of God. And there's that kind of interplay there, and that very, very, very fine line. If you overstep one way, you're hyper fundamentalist, and if you overstep the other way, you're hyper fundamentalist on the, on Satan's team. So, I mean, that's really cool, and I love that they're playing with that because even now, they're playing with that on Jessica Lange's character because voodoo, has some Catholicism mixed into that. So, Angela, for me, Angela Bassett's character is slightly more redeemable than Jessica Lange's character. I do know, I think that Angela Bassett's character at least has an opportunity for a redemption, whereas Jessica Lange's character, we know where she's headed.
Right. And I think with the mention of, let's see, one more thing happened that was really good in this episode, second
Well,
episode.
we didn't mention
Baby,
well,
husband.
we no, well that and but we also didn't mention the fact that the child actress character, Evan Peters' girlfriend in real life. Yeah, we didn't mention her. So she's a child actress character who is discovering that she has multiple powers. We did mention her briefly about being gang raped and turning over the bus like it was nothing. Well, so we find out that she's actually really curious to flex her magical muscles, and so she convinces vaginally challenged character to bring back Kyle, which is Evan Peters' character. And the way they do this is to Frankenstein him and give him, so they did a spell to do that, and they used really dark magic. And basically what happened is child actress character steals a page out of a spell book from someone, and it's just a case of not exactly realizing what you've unleashed. So that starts a great storyline for Evan Peters' character. So we find that he's kind of a broken man with a whole bunch of, literally made up of a whole bunch of different competing parts, boy parts, and we find out his home life
Wait,
in episode three.
we need to
But
talk about one more thing in episode two, and then we can
okay.
you can
Okay, okay, okay.
unleash the Nini, Hurricane Nini on everyone.
I
So one thing about episode two that we learn is that Sarah Paulson, oh no, not Sarah Paul, so her name is Cordelia.
It is Cordelia.
Okay, so she's Cordelia. She has
And
a
that's Sarah
husband.
Paulson.
She has a husband, and her life prior to this, or simultaneously, I can't tell whether it's a flashback or not, because it kind of is and it kind of isn't, and that goes into a third episode. But she's trying to have a baby and she can't. And for some reason, you know how you say that Jessica Lange's character is slowly losing her powers. Well, because of that same reason why Jessica Lange's character is losing her powers, it's the same reason why what's her face can't have a baby. But they try, you know, standard medicines. They try a spell where they have like really hot steamy sex in the middle of candles and sand and something.
Man, I actually want to see if that one works because that one looked too good to
I'm
pass up.
sure your husband would really appreciate that. At least the trying part. Fellas, I've been single for a few months. If you really want to try that, let's do that. Okay, anyway, now let's go into the third epic episode that no one was expecting. Set this one up, Nene. Set it up.
Okay, so we're in this third episode, and it starts off pretty uninteresting, or at least uncreepy. We have yet another awesome lady come into this episode. I can't remember the neighbor. I can't remember her name, but we've seen her around a lot, just like we've seen the Supreme Woman before. Jessica Lange's character was the Supreme. I
She's
need
a
to pull
Bible
up.
thumping.
She's a Bible thumping neighbor, and she has a banging hot son who's
Luke.
been Luke, who's been homeschooled and doesn't know the wicked ways of the world, and so he's just ready to be corrupted. And so we've got the girls, they're moving in right next door to this witch school, and so the girls are already like, they don't even have to undress him with his eye or with their eyes because he's literally undressing himself in the New Orleans heat. And so they decide that they're gonna like go over to the house with a welcoming wagon and bring over some cake, which, by the way, it's his favorite cake because we have Addie, who is psychic and knows these things. So he's cutting the cake, and then Bible thumping lady comes and's like threatening. I don't know, she can sense that they're not good, probably because child
Matt
actress.
Madison is throwing herself at the guy.
Yes.
She
She's
put on a
wearing
skimpy skirt, a dress, and all this.
it's like Slut 101, basically. She's wearing this skimp bandage dress. And so, what happens, Kat?
So she comes in as she's throwing herself. I like she's. I mean, so obvious she's throwing herself at Luke, and Nan is trying to hold back. And what it seems like is that Luke is interested more in Nan because Nan is reading his mind. He is a Christian, so yep, he might want sex, or he might, want to go there or be attracted to women. But it seems like he wants to go on a slow burn. So he seems like he's more interested in Nan, and so
Cool with that. I was kind
yeah,
of cool with that. I mean,
I think yeah. Go ahead.
because he just like kind of smirks at bandage dress girl and is like, I can tell you're used to being the center of attention. And then he kind of turns. That was so good. I cheered. I actually cheered. Especially we're fresh off Nan saying, I have sex all the time. I'm not a virgin.
And so so Papa comes in, cocks block the whole thing, and Madison sets her drapes on fire and lodges a knife at her with her mind. And the mother was like, "Satan, you have revealed yourself," and goes over, talks to Jessica Lange's character, Fiona. And was like, "Your daughter has a, I don't know what y'all doing here at this air quote school, but your daughter set my drapes on fire and threw a knife at me, and you need to get, I'm bringing a Bible over here because that's my gift instead of muffins because people don't need carbs." And Jessica Lange was like, "I don't know why you Bible thumping people are talking and yapping your gums at me because I'm not trying to hear it. Take you and your dry cooch and take somewhere else because I'm not listening." And so this is an interpretation of what was said, not exactly what was said, but I'm interpreting it for Nene.
It was basically exactly what she said. And then Jessica Lange's eyebrow raises. Why? Because then we start to get a little bit Sith lordy, and we find out that Jessica Lange, when she was just a young buck, is coming into her own as the new emerging supreme. She goes to her mentor, awesome lady that I can't remember her name, and Kat already said it, so just remember that because I have no memory. And then she goes up to her mentor, Supreme Lady, and slits her throat like a badass, like a
My
boss.
God, she was like, "I'm the new witch in town, and old out goes the old, in comes the new. We don't need you no more," just like that, and then slits her throat.
I know. And that's where we find out that whenever the old Supreme starts to, whenever the new Supreme starts to like flower in her powers, oh, that was
Manifest first,
terrible.
yeah.
That makes
Manifest her
her power.
powers,
We
yes.
find out that the old Supreme is getting her life force just literally sucked out, and her powers are being sucked away from her. And so there's this ongoing struggle of like fear, jealousy, and like this just crazy power struggle between the two witches. And then Jessica Lange's character slits her throat. And then we find out that what's the guy's name that you said were sad that he's not talking this
That
year?
guy, that guy.
That guy, he's watching the whole thing. And we find out, he's probably gonna lose his tongue right now because he just saw something pretty criminal. And that's the story of him so far. And then, what's up? What else?
And then, and then he sees her do it a second time when she kills the young buck. So the cycle has gone on, but Jessica Lange comes out, boss, aces the both times, and he gives a smirk, and then she gives a smirk, and she was like, she sat in her chair where her picture's supposed to go, cross her legs and say, "This school don't need a new supreme, it needs a new rug. Get that out of here." Yes. I was just like, I need to be Jessica Lange when I grow up. It's nothing wrong with her. She don't need any beauty queen creams or anything like that. She has it going on. I love her. Love. Okay. So we, reveal the end of the third scene, but we had to tell it in a linear fashion because they kind of circled jerk the whole story the whole time and they ended with that. So let's circle back to the Bible lady. We did the Bible lady. Okay. So we go to Misty's cabin and
Got Fleetwood Mac playing in the background.
Zoe, no, Zoe visits Kyle's mother and was just like who's smoking some pot and looking really tore down and tore back.
Scared.
I mean, and she's just like, I miss my baby boy. And it was all innocent. We was just like, oh, trashy mom smoking pot, looking crazy in the house. They weren't that rich, doesn't look like it. She's kind of neglectful, but she misses her baby and she was about to hang herself until Zoe called and said, I just want to visit and talk with you. So that was nice, right?
Right, and then she doesn't know it at the time, but Zoe
At
says, okay.
She said she doesn't, wait. She doesn't know it, but what?
Oh, when Kyle's mom asks Zoe if they were like romantic, and Zoe like crosses her legs with her vagina challenge and was like, it was not romantic.
And then the mother seems relieved, but we didn't know
But we
why.
don't know. There's a
So,
foreshadow.
yes. So we go to Misty, Stevie Nicks' cabin, and she's become super attached to Kyle. She was like, don't leave me. I healed you. Because Zoe's like, oh, the mom is hurting. We should really take Kyle and his Frankenstein monster state. And then what else happened, Stephanie? Misty like was just like clawing at him and stuff, but they finally get out of there, and then Zoe takes him home, and then
Okay, so I just want to say that Misty had a really big role in healing Frank and Kyle. And so she's probably more attached to him than she should be, but it seems like a lot of people are more attached to him than they should be. So Kyle is like obviously ready to go, but Misty's like, Zoe abandoned you. She didn't heal you. Don't go, blah blah blah. And he's like, yeah, anyway, later, bitch. But anyway, so then
He
he
kind of
goes.
mumbled that, but they we didn't hear those words exactly, but we kind of got it.
Oh, he shot it. He shot that look back where it was like, I'm not interested
Oh,
in
you
Stevie
have
Nicks.
powers. You have powers. Your powers would be to read the minds.
My power is to read the mind. Okay, so then we go back to the home of Kyle and creepy mother who's super haggard looking and but kind of still sympathetic. And then we see Kyle go kind of like
A
Zoe's
shower,
like,
a shower.
whoa, wait. So Zoe's like feeling totally good and smug because she reunited mother and son. But you see this other look. You see, right now Evan Peters can't really talk that much because, his tongue apparently is not as quickly reanimated as the rest of his body. So like all he does is go and then like shoot terrible pained looks at people. So Zoe did not see that as Kyle's mom was closing the door behind him, Kyle shoots a scared look out the door. And then we find out why. Because.
There was a shower first.
Okay, but tell it. Tell the story.
Okay, no. I just want to get the shower in there and then. So the shower, we see that the mom, walks in on a shower. We still think she and everything is copacetic. Everything's fine because sometimes people walk in on you when you're taking a shower and it's all accident, it's awkward, but they close it. They just hand you a towel.
Right.
Something stuff happens. So we just thought that's what this was.
Right.
But
Because
no,
this.
Stephanie, what happened?
Well, we have to say, this woman changed this dude's diapers, so it wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah, I was just
Hi.','////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////////
I'm saying, it was kind of innocent, and she thought, I don't know why you would open the shower when somebody the curtain, unless you were going to get in there, or maybe you thought she thought she was concerned that maybe he passed out or he was sick because he wasn't behaving properly. So I just thought maybe she was checking up on him, make sure he wasn't curled up in the bottom of the shower, like he just got something happened to him and he was crying, rocking back or forth, like Chick in the first episode. But so I thought that maybe it was a truly clinical checkup of a mother on a son. That's what I thought, and I didn't think anything further about it until.
Creepiness sets in because she goes to the son who's wide awake in bed and kind of snuggles up next to him in the bed, and she's
But still,
like, you know,
at this point, still, it's like,
it's not,
I don't know,
it's
miss my parents.
innocent.
Yeah, okay.
It's, pot smoker haggard innocence. And then she's there going, well, I noticed something different about you in the shower. You're like totally different. And then it does a little flashback of her looking at him in the shower and going, her eyes are going down into the no-no place. And her eyes get bigger, and you're like, what is happening? Please don't unfold. Please don't let the story unfold. And so, did I say enfold? I totally meant unfold.
Yeah, because
And
that's
then,
making me think of folds, and then that's making me think and
okay, so
I'm really creeped out.
I'm still creeped out. I don't have the power of my vocabulary right now because it's so creeped out. Okay, so then she starts to go, I know your body like nobody knows your body. And she starts kissing on him in the no-no way, in the Oedipal, nasty mother son should not be kissing like that way. And
no-no place, and that happened, and this was one of three traumas on this episode.
So we find out that probably Kyle, if he were still alive in the normal sense, he wouldn't want to go back home because he escaped that madness. But no, instead of doing a good deed, Zoe has, like, with a bow on top, given creepy molester mother Kyle to molest some more. And then Kyle, like, so she's touching the no-no place, and Kyle's like, I hate my life. And then what happens, Kat? Then what happens?
They finish, and he bashes her head in with a football trophy.
Yes, he does.
Not only hit her once, he hit her until she had half a face.
Yep. Yeah, it was disgusting. It was like Walking Dead gore.
Yeah, it was. It was exactly. It was like that. And I was like, I didn't think people's faces were that malleable. Oh, but
Well, they are when you have Frankenchild come kill you. Yeah, they are.
And it was completely gross. And then Zoe comes back like, oh my God, I'm going back to the happy house. And then she creeps in and finds mom killed with blood everywhere and half a face. And Kyle comes out, still can't speak. Oh, he actually did speak. He said no.
He said no several times as the trophy went into the head.
No,
But
in this instance. And she just didn't hear him, perhaps.
let me just say, it was. I was having weird feelings because,
You think?
because Kyle like comes out. Kyle comes out completely bloodstained but shirtless, and I'm like, I don't know where this is going to go because I've already been unpleasantly surprised so many times in this episode. So I don't know what's going to happen to Zoe and Kyle right now, and I hope that it's nothing to do with vaginas. And that's what I have to say about
Well,
that.
if he's already dead, maybe it just kills for the first time if you're human, but if you're inhuman,
Unfolding.
okay, so that was disturbing because, usually we don't see mothers on TV molesting sons. Not that it's normal to see fathers molesting daughters. No, it's not normal either way, but it was really traumatic.
It was like Bates Motel, but worse because she was literally like.
We saw it. Yeah.
It was so gross.
And
It was
I
gross.
it was reaching softcore porn territory.
It was sad. Okay, so now I'm texting this to Kat. I'm like, "Oh my God, that just happened." Oh, she's like, "Oh no, that's not even the most disturbing part."
Yeah,
She's
let's move
like
on.
she's like, "Oh no, you have to wait for it." And I'm like, "What could possibly be next? This only has 10 minutes left in the show. What's happening here?"
That 2 minutes was a glorious 10 minutes. Okay, and then so not only that, we get because this is where why we built up a lot of the story before we got to it is that let's
Oh my
see,
God.
God, I want to visit let's see. Okay, so Cordelia is the daughter, not the crazy. Okay, yes. So Cordelia finds out she can't not have a child, period, and blah blah blah. So she decides to go to what they call Cornrow City is the name of the shop. Yeah. And she wants to consult with Marie Laveau about her fertility problem. And she talks with her and tell her, and then Marie like talks her through the whole ritual. And just instead of just saying it, we get to see sort of a flash,
Forward.
no,
It's
a flash fantasy.
okay.
Because it's not
Okay.
going to happen. So it's not a flashback, a flash forward. It's a flash fantasy. And we get to see the whole crazy ritual, which was like kind of awesome because you really haven't seen voodoo on TV in a long time. It's been a while, right?
Yeah. And it was like weird ass, like we have to have the hottest pepper of all time to get the attention of the gods and like
Yeah.
Also, by the way, you're gonna need to bring a mason jar of your husband's baby juice and like stuff like that. Like
Baby juice, they meant semen.
in a mason jar?
How did that
Witch coven school for nasty girls, and I'm gonna need your semen now. Okay, honey.
jar. Like, how does that happen? Like, what? That
Oh,
conversation has to be pretty intense.
that is an intense, but they've already had intense sexy time,
Yeah.
and they've had other things. People,
Yeah, but
watch this show.
that had to be maybe
That was,
5 days
multiple trips to the mason jar for sure. For sure.
my God, stop it. This show is turning us into horrible people because we have to explain these things. Okay, so
Oh my
what
God.
happens is they have the whole, typical voodoo dance, and there's people doing all this stuff. And then you say they have to eat the pepper to catch the attention of the gods to show them that they're willing to forego pain in honor of him. Then she has to lay down in the middle of a circle, and then they bring out a baby goat, a kid, as it were, and sacrifices a kid, as it were, on her, and the blood drips down onto her covered vag, and she rubs it in, molested herself there in front of everybody.
And the semen jar
Oh, did it
explodes
break?
in the fire. Oh,
This show. Wow. What is happening?
that wasn't nearly as disturbing
What?
as the pièce de résistance. Like,
But we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. And then he
oh.
had this flash fantasy, all to say, "Yeah, but bitch, I ain't gonna let that happen because your mama came in here talking about hammer and nails, and she done messed with the wrong witch."
She's playing solitaire on her iPad.
The whole
On,
conversation.
she's saying, you don't, okay, so this is, I'm just gonna paint the scene. So we go in the back of the wig store
Corn
to
City is the name.
Cornrow City. We go back there and we see that Angela Bassett has a pretty bitchin' throne with like goat
Skull.
skulls on both sides,
And
and sitting, and it's like in a throne, so like on either armrest is a goat skull, and then it's like serving another purpose. So did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that goat skulls can also be iPad holders? So there is an iPad sitting in the goat skull, and on the iPad, I shit you not, on the iPad is a game of solitaire. And Angela Bassett's character's all like, "Yeah, I've been telling you all this, but it's just not happening for you, and I've got to get back to my solitaire. Bye-bye now."
So I don't know what. And so Cordelia was really upset because she didn't know that her mom had visited her and messed up her chance of having a baby. And so she's kind of upset with her mom, and now she knows that she has to go to war with this crazy person. And at this point, Angela Bassett's kind of like a zombie. You can't reason with it. It's just full force ahead fighting. And they're like waiting on the fight. She's not.
Oh wait, there's so much potential there for the daughter Cordelia and Angela Bassett's character to team up, because the enemy of the en of my enemy is my friend,
Well,
right?
I don't think that Cordelia would forsake her mother just, well, maybe
Oh,
because
yeah, she would,
Cordelia killed,
absolutely.
now that she's killed Madison, perhaps. But,
She will absolutely do that. And by the way, Madison's character has to be coming back to life because Stevie Nicks is probably going to come by and find that school eventually and bring Madison's character back to life.
why, what's her, Zoe did not, invite Stevie Nicks to the school. Like, she's just there.
No, but Stevie Nicks came over and found Zoe, remember? Like, she drove over there. So she's psychically connected to these kind of incidents in time that involve wrongful deaths, which is why she came back for Evan Peters' character. So I have a feeling that she felt that in the Force somehow and is
Okay.
going to come back. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I don't. Cordelia may have a kid, but it's going to be at a very, very high price.
Cordelia might have a kid that's going to end up to be the new Supreme. You don't know.
Yeah, you never know. I don't know how that's going to work out for her, but she looked really so heartbroken when Mary
Yeah.
Laveau was just like, bitch.
I know.
You know.
It's time for
So,
solitaire.
meanwhile.
Back at the ranch
All right.
with the bull men.
Okay. So, what has happened is some. Oh.
What
Wait. So, Kathy Bates is slaving away for Queenie. And they're cooking, and Queenie is ordering around, and all of a sudden, Kathy Bates hears some stuff going on. She thinks something's out there. Queenie's like, "What you talk about, Willis?" And then nothing's really. Don't think anything's out there. They open the door and they see a freaking minotaur, right?
For
Or a
sure.
man bull or whatever. And Queenie was like,
Centaur.
"Yeah, centaur, whatever." And
Whatever.
so, something tar. And so Queenie, for whatever reason, said, "Let me slice your hand, put some blood on your towel, and you get on up the stairs. I'm gonna take care of this." And so she goes outside and follows Man Bull, and then Stephanie.
It's Minotaur. I just looked it up. But anyway, so Man Bull comes along, and you see Queenie, like, somehow she instinctively knows that Kathy Bates' blood will bring him out, and like she's intending to have a conversation like you would with a bull man in the shed. And so
She lures him into like this place away from the house.
and she talks about how both of them do what they do because they need love. And it kind of harkens back to, I'm gonna kind of barf in my mouth a little bit. It's very hard for me to speak right out. Okay, so it harkens back to the conversation she had with Kathy Bates' character about how the reason why she eats so much is because she's an overweight, voluptuous, curvaceous lady. She eats so much because she's trying to replace the love that she didn't receive growing up. She's trying to replace that with food. So anyway, going to the shed. With the bull conversation, she's saying the same thing. Like, you violated Kathy Bates' daughter, but you were just looking for love, and
Which was
I'm
not the
looking.
case. Which was not the case. That
I know.
daughter accosted that man.
That's true, but Queenie doesn't know that because she's just going on Kathy Bates' word, which, I mean, whatever. Never trust a racist. So then, some awkward things happen in that time. She just starts to like go to her own no-no place. And while she's talking, she's like, "Don't you want to love me?" And I'm feeling like I don't even want to say the rest because that was you're like, "Oh wait. It can get more disturbing," and it did.
Yeah.
It did get more disturbing. The
I
bull
don't
comes
think.
around and has the sex. The bull has the sex with the queenie, and it's a little bit weird. We find out that this bull man is turning more and more into a minotaur because he's got like cloven feet and partially cloven hands. And what you see during this bull sex person scene is the cloven hands.
Covering Queenie's mouth.
That's the end of it. That's the end of the story. Minotaur
Yeah.
sex. Minotaur X.
Because, like, for me, like, seems like that would be towards the end of the season because that's like the re really weird thing. And for them to have three hardcore weirdness situate four really shocking five
Zoom, zoom,
shocking
boom.
things in one episode like that, I was just taking it. I just did not think we were gonna get to go there ever in my lifetime. I mean, this takes the cake, and
That's right.
it's
We
what?
find out Queenie in the episode, we find out she's a virgin.
Wow, what a way to go, right?
I know. Well, and so I'm wondering what is going to happen. And I'm wondering if Queenie did that so that Kathy Bates could be raped in the
Just happened on
what
this
I'm
podcast because why would you think that?
Because she's a human voodoo doll. She took Kathy Bates' blood, and things happen. The things that happen to her, she doesn't feel it. It happens to her victims.
That's only if she wants it to happen to someone else. She has to,
I
doesn't she
don't
have to have eye
know.
contact? Because every time she's done something with somebody, she was angry and she had to
Yeah,
have eye contact.
but she took Kathy Bates' blood with her. Maybe
That
that
was
was like the
horrible.
connection. I know, but maybe that was the connection. You don't know? Okay, here's the
So you
thing.
think this is happening to Kathy Bates?
I think it might be, actually. Now
I
that
mean, that's a good observation.
I had to process it a little bit because I was like, why would you put yourself in front of a freaking bull and have sex with the bull? And then I'm like, oh, well, because Kathy Bates traumatized this once human and somehow he got turned into a bull and now it's revenge on this lady, you know? Because following along the Queenie storyline, she's aware of what kind of a horrible person. Once Kathy Bates reveals who she actually is, Queenie's aware of who she is. Like, she remembers learning about how evil of a person she is. And so, at first, I thought, yeah, that blood might be to lure the bull, but I think it was a dual purpose. I think maybe she needed that blood as a personal connection to do her like voodoo doll thing. So maybe Kathy Bates is, we don't know. We don't know what's happening because this was literally the end of the episode. Bull hand goes over Queenie's mouth and then the credits roll.
Yeah, right. So we think he could be kidnapping her and taking her back to Marie Laveau.
He could be, or he could be having the sexy time, and Kathy Bates might be getting the sexy time as a punishment. I don't know.
I mean, anything could happen. We don't know with this show because they had we didn't think half the stuff in this episode would ever happen in our lifetimes. And they did. And I haven't been this traumatized since True Blood when two vampires were having sex. And in the middle of it, one broke one's neck and turned it all the way around so he didn't have to stop what he was doing, doggy style, to see her face.
Oh,
And
gross.
and she
That
kept
happened.
talking and saying, "I love you," even though he had broken her neck and turned her head around and to see
Wow.
her. So
That's pretty disgusting.
yeah,
So
that's pretty great. So I don't know what I'm watching anymore.
I have to keep watching though, because it's really as disgusting as all of the things have been that we said. It's pretty amazing that we're three episodes in the show. They've already killed off two of the show's front runners, which is Evan Peters, and then he came back to life. Oh, actually, three, because they originally killed off Stevie Nicks, and then they brought her back, and then they killed off.
Four, because they killed off Kathy Bates.
Oh, yeah, they killed
Well,
off
they
Kathy
didn't kill
Bates.
her, technically.
Well, we didn't find out that she wasn't dead. So the thing is, there's surprises at every turn, and the storylines are really exploring creepy American horror story type themes, and you are never bored, and you never are quite sure what's happening, as witnessed by the last conversation we just had about Queenie and the Bull. This show is awesome. The writing is so impeccable. The way that they infuse humor into these extremely weird moments, and then the way that they have intertwined each character's passions and ambitions and faults and weaknesses, everything is so tightly wound together. I cannot wait to see what's happening in the next episode. I'm not going to be eating before the episode because I had breakfast while watching this last thing, and I have a little bit of indigestion right now because of all of the uncomfortableness that I witnessed with my eyes and all of the pearls I had to clutch because, oh my God.
Yeah, that's some uncomfortable TV viewing. It's extremely depraved. And apparently some real Bible thumpers are complaining about these shows, saying this and The Walking Dead are gateways to hell. So it's getting popular and people are taking notice. And yeah, so I think they must be doing a good job.
I think so. I mean, I don't feel I don't know. I don't feel threatened in my own good virtue after watching this show. I mean,
I
it's
don't feel
not.
threatened, but I definitely feel violated.
Yeah, a little.
I feel uncomfortable.
It's not making me want to go out and seek out a bull and have sex with a bull, or
No.
like, it's not making me want to do any of that. But what it is making me want to do is watch and find out what happens to these creepy, crazy characters. The acting is so solid,
Yeah.
so good, so engaging. The setting couldn't be more perfect. New Orleans is perfect for
Yeah.
this season, and it's called American Horror Story. They've hit it on the nail. They're telling this great story. It just happens to be extremely horrific, and by the way, it is uniquely American.
It
So
is. It
I
is.
love
It is. I can't. When we started watching this show, I thought we were going to be in the horror house the whole time. And I thought this was going to be a thing each season. But every season, they shake it up. It's almost like how Outer Limits used to be, except for that was,
Yeah.
it changed every episode. But this time, they expanded and they change every season. And each season, I've been concerned about that approach. But I think it's so fresh because the show never can get boring because you only have a storyline for one season and you get to explore every, facet of everything that they present, but it doesn't get tired because they keep it in like a little capsule. So
Right.
this was an excellent idea. There's nothing on TV like it.
Nothing.
It is a disgusting show. Yes, viewers do have to be cautioned when they're watching it, and you might not want to be you might not want to,
You want to keep out of the reach of small children and animals.
small children, if you're feeling influential or impressionable, don't watch it because yeah, I don't know.
This is right up my alley, though. I am eating it up. I love it.
Yeah.
I think that, well, first of all, I know it's not necessarily science fiction, it's more supernatural, but the reason why I like science fiction is it takes these settings that are unique and creates these worlds apart from our own world, and then kind of explores these crazy themes, but they're as crazy as they are, they're also universal.
Yeah.
And so that's what first drew me to science fiction, and I can definitely see that happening, albeit in a way more disgusting way. I can see that happening with American Horror Story. And I know if you don't normally watch horror movies, so like my thing is sci-fi horror. I love it. But I would recommend this show if you love good writing, good acting. We get to see the actors every year. They get to stretch their acting chops because they get to play new characters every year. So it's very similar to why I love The Twilight Zone. I love seeing the same actors in The Twilight Zone playing different characters. It feels more personal to me. I get to bond with the actors in a different way. And it's not like I'm bonding with their characters as much anymore. It's like I'm bonding with them. I'm getting to enjoy the fact that they get to be creative each year in a new character. And this particular set of actors are so very talented, and the stories that they've been given are so very engaging.
Yeah.
I would not ever pass this show up. It's just really good.
I wonder where they're going to go next because we've been to a haunted house. We've been to an insane asylum. We've got witches. What else in America is horror? Like maybe, what is that one movie with Nicolas Cage where they explore like Washington, D.C. and they have all of the.
National Treasure.
Maybe they'll do something like that.
I
Or
was not expecting you to go there. National Treasure.
the
National
reason
Treasure.
I like The only reason I like National Treasure because it gave kind of a mythology to American history as it relates to the presidents and our government, and I never expected that to be as exciting as it was, and it was kind of exciting.
I think that there it would be really cool to see like a Children of the Corn or something like that.
Oh, some,
Or like
like a cult, or how about Native Americans all in the Southwest?
ooh, like the Mound, like H.P. Lovecraft's The Mound. Let's see. I could also see them doing like a super religious cult kind of thing, like you said. I could see them doing like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of creepy hillbilly family. Right? They have so many cool places to go. And by the way, those are extremely smacking of Americana. Like, I mean, you cannot find that any other place. We do it super well. We could have like a summer camp and people dying.
Oh,
You know,
yes.
summer
Oh, that would be awesome, because you can throw in the Native American thing because they're always in camp in some cabin, and there's like, you
Yeah,
never know
you can
where that could go. Oh, summer camp would be awesome. I'm gonna write the writers and let them know. But what we're gonna do, because Stephanie has to go, we are not gonna talk about Walking Dead and Gravity this time, but I will get her and we will talk about those, and we will talk about all that stuff next time.
yes, looking forward to it.
Okay, so give us
Absolutely.
a call or an email or a text or a tweet, and that is, you can find all of that information on Sci-Fi Party Line. Okay, and
Yay!
see you then. Bye bye, folks.
Bye!
End of line.